431-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, technical operator, producer. We have the break at 12:30 for the latest. We end at 1, and we join the 18 if weather permits, because I notice it's raining in the nation's capital as I looked outside. But I'll hear from the team somewhere during the course of the program, because I will be sitting in the chair until 2, but taking your calls and down to brass tacks until 1. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How do you do?
I'm doing all right, ma'am. And you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I have two items to bring to the table. One is service, next one is transportation. First thing, I must compliment one of the telecommunications providers who is located in Warren for the excellent response which they give to their customers, because I was one, I don't know about the others, in relation to November 2019 when we had the power outage for 2 days and a half. Right, I saw a reduction in my bill because I get a credit thanks to DigiCell.
Good.
Next thing is, in relation to Light and Power, what about the loss of earnings for people like needle workers, manufacturers, laundry workers, people who have to use electric stoves and those sorts of gadgets, right? What about compensating them? People may have written into them, and they tell you you got to follow a form to be compensated and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But they realize too that it's their fault, and people should be compensated, and they shouldn't drag them all the way down. People lost a lot of food stuff, right? Whether it's at their home or at their businesses, they have to throw away. Who's going to cover that cost?
Well, ma'am, if they ask you to fill out a form, that's their way of letting their shareholders and their management know why they've paid the money out. So they could say, here we have claim from business X. These are the items they've lost. This is the cost they've given us. This is the check we've cut. It's called accountability. That's why those things are done. It's not dragging you down. I know it may be inconvenient, in addition to having lost items, to then say, I lost 20 pounds of this and it costs X. It may be inconvenient, but for accounting purposes, businesses are required to show why they write checks. So there must be an accounting process.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not covering you for foodstuff, et cetera, right? But they should be covering you for loss of earnings, okay? Because you'll be operating either a business or you might be at home doing something or the other, right? The next thing I have to say in relation to transportation, right? The Holders Cave Pill route, that is not a very good route. You understand? They give people a pension card, and yet still, they can't get the bus. Some people from Holders still go walk down to the bottom of Holders to get a bus coming from Spicetown to get to town if they want a free ride, or they got to go to Torps, right, to catch us that are. What's the sense of giving a person the ID card for passing they can't utilize it to the best of their ability? Them things ain't good.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Ma'am, I'm listening to you.
Yeah. And the next thing, too, when they're paving the road, right, let the people know in the district that they're paving the road so that when they're putting on the asphalt and that sort of thing, that you will be able to leave your home, because it ain't easy inhaling those sorts of things, right? That is all I have to say.
Okay, ma'am. And again, I thank you for your contribution. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, please. I have two concerns that I saw on Saturday. I was attending the public library, and I wanted to find out who is responsible for removing those old phone booths.
Old phone booths?
Yes, they bought the phone booths. There's some in Independence Square.
More than likely the service provider then. I don't know if Flo can say it's not them, but whoever Cable and Wireless was, I think they're the ones who put them there.
I think that they should move them though, because is some very unsightly things I've seen in those form of like human feces and stuff like that. It is so disagreeable. Oh my goodness. It was awful. And when I called to yesterday, I had an occasion to travel on the road, like going up. It's opposite your old building to go up to the bus, the van stand. And along that route, oh goodness, you should see the amount of garbage on the road, on there, out there. And people are around there selling. And then like some of the bricks come up out of the road, out of the pathway. And the one that is, you can see right down to it, if it's going down to the water. And it's so much garbage. It is, who's responsible for cleaning these places?
That's a good question. I don't know who's responsible for cleaning it. The question is, who's responsible for making a mess too? Because that entire beautification of Bridgetown was supposed to make the area nice and pleasant.
They have their tray set up. I mean, they say, and it's garbage. Or clean up the garbage then. Put it in a bag or something. How can you be selling food stuff and thing around there with all that garbage is?
Because they'll tell you they didn't put the garbage there. And or the receptacles full. They'll find some excuse. It is an untidy area. It is. Well, we will continue to fight that battle, ma'am. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, now, very often when we hear news of about African countries, it is always negative. On Sunday, I don't know if you all saw it, I was listening to Farid Zakaria's program, GPS. And he was dealing, as you know, President Trump has banned an additional number of Muslim countries, among them being Nigeria. So what he was making a case, he said that at least one country that he should not have banned was Nigeria. And he gave reasons why. In fact, he said that Nigeria, banning Nigeria was a loss to the United States rather than Nigeria. And he, in fact, I was very pleased to hear this, some of these figures he gave for 2017, for example. It was only a big up, but that's just one major one. 59% of all Nigerians in the United States, they have, in fact, 59% for Nigeria, for example, of all educated and trained Nigerians. And it is the highest for any immigrant group in the United States. Right? Yeah, it was very encouraging. And in fact, he said most Nigerians are involved in highly skilled jobs. Right? And they remitted something like $14 billion U.S. dollars in 2017.
And that is the... And that is the that's the criteria for being the U.S. friend, right?
You know, and what
is,
And the further, he said that, no, this is, he said that in 2017 again, Nigerians, from the Nigerian diaspora, they remitted something like $24 billion U.S. dollars, right? And of course, in Nigeria, he talked about the fact that he don't have that information, but he just picked up basically. And he thought it was very interesting because I think even our tourism people should look at these figures.
But you see,
that there's a large body.
There's a, but here are the two things that stand in the way, right? Number one, if you read social media, every time you have an African country that has a high education rating, or a high number of qualified or wealthy individuals, you see the stories coming up about the corruption or their ability to not have come by it by good means.
That's right.
They always find a way to say the but.
That's right.
To keep you away from saying, here's a group of people we should target for investment, or here's a group of people we should target for. There's something that's burning me, right, sir? And unfortunately, well, you're one of the callers that I know react to this because I've listened to you over a period of time. There was a law passed in Barbados recently. I think it was passed and all the way through that has to do with who provides certain types of services for businesses that make over $1 million Barbados dollars in turnover, not in profit. right? That you have to have these people who would attend to your business. And nobody in Barbados has discussed why, how, whether it's an OECD requirement or whether we just decide to do it to be more transparent than everybody else. But if your company has a turnover of over $1 million, you have to have employ these people. They got a special name for them, okay? They got to be registered. And whenever you start doing these things, supposedly to ensure that people came by their wealth the right way or that they, you know, stick to the rules of some international agency, is usually because you're getting pressure, you know. Not because you get up one morning and feel like doing it.
I know, that's
but anyway, that's true. Yes, sir. The Nigerians.
Yeah, and the thing, well, no, what, that was very encouraging because, as you know, very often we hear about Boko Haram, everything.
Yeah, everything that's wrong.
And the cold.
And diseases and children with flies in their eye.
That's right. Nothing good comes. No. But I have seen that there's a lot of development taking place in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Angola.
And the Chinese doing it.
And yes, a large amount of development in Nigeria itself. I mean, there's a lot of negative that comes out. Mm-hmm. But we need to get the positive. And I was very pleased when I heard him making this case. He was making a case for Nigeria not to be
blocked.
Mm-hmm. From coming to the United States because they contribute so much to that society. Right? And obviously, it naturally might have an element of racism. No doubt. I mean, the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, an element of racism,
mm-hmm.
but they are highly. He made the point. I mean, he quoted quite a number of other statistics that I thought were very, very, very encouraging,
mm-hmm.
about a black country. And I thought this is the thing. He said, for example, our tourism authority should really have. Of course, I guess they will look at the Nigerian diaspora in the north because I'm sure those people will be comfortable coming to another black country. You know.
We have tried it before to reach out to people in Atlanta, I know for sure, and there are other places in the U.S. I don't know if it has gained traction.
Yeah.
The other question I have, though, is who's in charge of our marketing in those various markets these days? Who's in charge of the Canadian, U.S., U.K.? Because sometimes with changes in personnel, I know Billy Griffith resigned or retired, but the names of the new people in the new players in the market don't come readily to mind. And our thrust into tourism has to be consistent and enhanced, especially with the planned expansion in the tourism footprint along the coastlines and various other places above us. We have to intensify the push. And if you can identify persons of wealth who will not only visit but spend, it's a good market to go after.
That's right.
And if you could, point out, we look like them. Well, you know,
but that's right.
We have another selling point.
That's right, because I mean, a black guy is always. If you go to a country, you first see another for black. You're like to chop him. Your own.
I have found that to be the practice, sir. As a matter of fact, in some places they seem to go and find the black people to bring to you.
Actually, it's your own, and there's nothing that unite people like race. No question about it. We cannot deny
you
that.
Can't
there's
deny
one thing that binds people. When have you go somewhere, as a little boy going to school, who you grab there? You're looking like yourself, right?
Yeah, correct.
All right, good.
Correct. Take care, my friend. Be good. I have to tell you, I think when we went to the NAB in San Francisco, they found a Bajan girl somewhere in reservations to bring to introduce to us. When we go on a bus in Las Vegas and asked to stand up, the bus driver said, in Barbados, where I come from, we are staff on buses regularly. We almost had a fit. He was originally from Black Rock. So, you know, you always bounce into place. Somebody says, we bring in Nigerians here by plane and by boat. Remember what happened? Yeah, you remember what happened? Fair enough. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yesterday, I was hanging on to speak when they were talking about all the contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had the most wonderful contractor called Mr. Straker. I sent him to every one of my lady friends, and they all said that he was fantastic. And a friend of mine who was working, God rest her soul, with the Villas in Sandy Lane, one gentleman even took him to the States because he was so good, he wanted him to look at his house.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So not all contractors are evil and dishonest, but there are. And Mr. Straker from St. George was fantastic, and I have lived in his house that he did for me, and I never knew what I wanted, but he always knew how to do the house. When I came back, I would see some new thing done, and he said, but you gave me the money, so I'm building the house for you. Mm-hmm. So there are honest, upright people in Barbados. Mr. Straker, God bless you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you as well, ma'am. The Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. You can send a message to 266-IVOB, or you can send a WhatsApp to 266-IVOB, 266-4862, or an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And of course, the WhatsApps usually fly during the news break. Customer service really needs upgrading. The first time I received money via MoneyGram, so I checked the website, saw Courts as a company I can go to and receive cash. When I got there, I was told they don't do it anymore. Then as I work in Warrens, had to ask for time off to go, so they need to upgrade their website. Time wasted. Yep. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Somebody asked me to share the first name of Mr. Straker, the contractor. No, I happen to know that because someone sent me a message as Michael, okay? Not Iceman, although he claimed that, you know, all Strakers are very efficient people. Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am all right, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Mm-hmm. I felt so good hearing you all in that last conversation before the news mm-hmm. about Nigerians. Mm-hmm. And I must say, I got to move you now to the top of the class.
Oh, Lord. No, the people got pelted at my big head.
No, my God. They do things to Jesus when they're on the earth and religious people do.
Yeah, but he had coverage.
Right.
I got that kind of coverage.
As long as you believe in God, you got coverage.
I got coverage. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good
coverage.
To know my insurance still holds. Yes, sir.
I just called to inject there to let you all know mm-hmm. that Miss McLean, mm-hmm. Maxine,
mm-hmm.
yeah, was very thing in bringing Nigerians here mm-hmm. to be involved in businesses mm-hmm. with agents. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that to clarify that there are people on the ground who recognize how intelligent and how hardworking Nigerians are, and you can't stop them. People can only slow you down, but they can't stop you. They're a Nigerian billionaire. Black billionaire that was looking from joint ventures
in
and
Vegas.
He was brought here. And you ain't hear now much about it. It was just, you know, along the way mm-hmm. or not, your caller who was there would have known what I'm saying now. But like everything else, I enjoy your program. Have a good day.
Thank you, my brother.
I don't want to say nothing more. God bless.
Okay, man. You know, someone says, don't want to bring back up the topic of bad work again, but I agree with the lady who said we had to look for the good ones. In everything, you have to make your selection, and you have to do so wisely. When I heard all the discussions about bad workmen and bad contractors, I kept wondering, who made the selection and how? It's a question I always ask. As I said, I'm curious by nature, so I would ask questions, and I know it would annoy people when I ask questions, but I ask questions. Did you see an ad in the newspaper? Did someone tell you about this person? You picked them up out of the blue. How did you come to pick that particular individual that you picked to do the work for you? Were they referred to you by someone? Did you ask a friend? And after the experience, what would you say about the person to someone else who asks you? You know, so who did the work on your windows, Mr. X? He did a good job. Well, yeah. That's how things, you know. But we make the decision. And sometimes we make it based on cost. Sometimes we make it based on other things. So the question that came to mind in the discussion was, how you arrived at the person that you selected to do the job. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hey, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was making an observation driving down Rendezvous yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, they're doing some steps there.
Yeah, so they're making a footpath, yeah.
Yeah, so I was wondering if it could be like a flat space, you know, to accommodate our handicapped brothers and, well, sorry, differently abled brothers and sisters in our community. They can't get up the hill.
It's kind of steep to go down. I ain't worried about going up. Well, you know, they may be able to push themselves up, but going down is a bit of a challenge because that's kind of steep. But you are correct. Footpaths seem more to be constructed for able-bodied persons rather than persons who have challenges. I gotta tell you, as someone with a challenge, and I always say this because I feel I must say this, it's not only people in wheelchairs who will have challenges with things like Rendezvous Hill, Oystens Hill, as another example, or even the steps at the National Stadium, which is the one I use quite regularly when we used to have Calypso shows there. I used to be a part of the team. Those steps, for example, going up the stadium, there's nothing to hold on to. And if you have mobility challenges, and after four steps, your legs don't take you up anymore, what do you hold on to? Do you fall down on your face? Do you grab the chair or the person next to you? What do you do? There are times I've had to sit on the steps of the National Stadium and pull myself up step by step by step after everyone has left, because I know people would stare at me and wonder, what is wrong with this idiot? So there are things like that that present a challenge to some of us who may not look as though we're members of the disabled community. Let me put it that way.
Well, no, just that we do more for, you know, our brothers and sisters in that perspective, and because we're a tourist destination, and I live on the coast road, and I see a lot of people struggling, people in wheelchairs and stuff like that. They really struggle. It's a danger, so I hope that the relevant authorities would always keep them in mind. So thank you for your time, sir.
And I thank you as well. And there are solutions. You know, things like putting armrests along the side of the cut rock going down. It's going to be expensive, but yes, you know, rails to help guide you along or hold on to as you go up, that kind of thing. It would assist. And your call is a good one. It means that there are people who look and see these things and, you know, make note of it. And I agree with you. I agree. Good to hear you, sir. What's going on at Area Post? Said this one. Packages arrived in Barbados since November, December are still to be delivered. Customer support is non-existent. No one's answering the phone. Voicemail service is full. You can't leave a message. I told someone yesterday, I didn't realize we had that many people who use the services of those agencies to get things into Barbados because of the number of complaints I've seen. Hopefully, I'll be saying this for the last time for those who keep trying. Do not call us via the WhatsApp. It is not possible for us to take your calls and send us a message. I will read it once it is airworthy. Can't take your calls on or WhatsApp. I know it's convenient for some people, but unfortunately, I can't. Someone's back on the... bad workmen. The other one I saw that I wanted to share with you is a little lengthy, but I'll try to see if I can get some of it in now that there are no calls on the line. The roundabout use. All roundabouts are subject to approval by MTW and planning. In some cases, the conditions which those offices define controls the end result of the roundabout or road. I drove the roundabout at the Ridge, and it is a mini roundabout which is rated at 24 kilometers an hour, seeing that it's not paved as yet, around 18 to 20 kilometers per hour as I proceed through the roundabout. My feeling is that it was done like that to reduce the speed of vehicles due to the lay-by, the Western Road, and what looks to be the development or whatever that has been installed to the south. Also, from my knowledge, to center the roundabout, they have had to acquire the land to the north, and land acquisition is a very timely, they said, but I suppose I mean time-consuming process. When I drove that road, when the surveyor was laying it out, the vehicles were speeding through the area, although the road signs were up. So the reduction of speed may be needed, in my opinion. Also wanted to mention the case of the container truck and using the roundabout. Those guys have to control the roundabout because People bore through on their blind spots and put them in problems and even accidents. People need to realize that the trucks are big. They need to give them space on the road and in the roundabout so they can maneuver easily. The reality that the truck could crush a car is something I don't think people understand. And I have to agree with you on the question of the size of the container trucks, sometimes the way we disregard them. I really am disappointed in my people. I really am. Good afternoon, DJ. Have you ever seen a disabled person using Rendezvous Hill? I don't live on Rendezvous Hill, so I will not see anyone who uses Rendezvous Hill on a frequent basis. I know a gentleman who lost the use of his legs because a car coming down Rendezvous Hill crushed him against the wall. So he is now a disabled person. He wasn't disabled when he was using Rendezvous Hill. Disabled persons are people. In today's world, disabled persons have motorized wheelchairs. They use various means of transport. Some of them even drive, believe it or not. So disabled persons use Rendezvous Hill in various ways, including a car. May you always have your legs and always be mobile. May you never grow old. And may your joints always work at 100%. Just like the lady who called and said that she does not understand why you have somebody interpreting for the hearing impaired on television. Hearing impaired people don't look at television. They're not interested in that. My friends, let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be a little meeker with the brother who is weaker. Let me think of more of my neighbor and a little less of me. It has been a pleasure sharing this, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks with you. Your regular Tuesday host should be with you next Tuesday, and I'm sure you will enjoy your conversations with him. Let me thank technical operator John Stout for taking care of things at technical. For those of you who sent messages via WhatsApp or those who called, I thank you for your contributions on behalf of the team of the Lion and the younger Lion. Have a good afternoon.